Are you ready for this? Niños and niñas, señores and señoritas, luchadores and luchadores, you know it, right here on the Trending Topics Network. I'm going to bring to you LuChat. LuChat is the podcast that chats all about the happenings within Lucha Underground. I'm the host, Finn Fish, and it's the 67th installment of LuChat. And on this episode of LuChat, we're going to cover Season 3, Episode 15, titled En La Sombra. We also have the issue with Sexy Star and a few other luchadores that had left AAA. And we got so much more. But first, how is it going? Oh man, you know what? Speaking of Christmas gifts and the holiday season, I actually received my card in the mail from one of my friends. It's a nice card. I mean, I'm glad it got here way before Christmas, because that is hectic. That mailing and traveling, and it's all good as long as you enjoy and be safe. But man, is it getting hectic? I had to mail out a gift myself, or not myself, I had ordered a gift online for a friend, and they're saying it's gonna take a little longer. I ordered it way before the shipping date make it there before Christmas, but you know, I guess it's you know delivery and all this other stuff, but it's all good. And with the holiday seasons, this seems right now at this time that LuChat is going to keep going. Lucha Underground airs a show, I do a show, but here's the kicker. I've gotten a call to go up to Reno. So within that transition period of me going to Reno and doing things in Reno, there might not be a show here and there, but I would announce that. I would make sure I at least do like a quick segment show to let you guys know that, hey, we're going to go hide out until we get situated in Reno. And then once that's said and done, we will kick back in with LuChat and we will catch you up as quickly as possible. But yeah, keep your fingers crossed for me that I get to go and make it and work out in Reno. It's going to be cold, but it's all good if I get to go. So let's get into some Lucha news. I really don't know how I feel about this news, but let's just, you know, give it out to you. The situation with Sexy Star and Lucha Underground has gotten interesting, where Lucha Underground is now backing AAA's Dorian Roden with the idea that people who leave AAA may not be used in Lucha Underground. This also could lead to issues with Phoenix, who had left, and Jack Evans, who had issues with the promotion. Star is looking to start a career in boxing, but AAA feels she needs to book all her dates through them due to her being under contract with the promotion. Phoenix's new name, Rey Fénix, was also trademarked by AAA, even though it was the name he started using after leaving the promotion. He has changed his name again to Fénix El Rey. So, pretty much is what this is saying, is that AAA does not want Lucha Underground to use any of the talent that has left or was, you know, kicked out. And I don't like that too much, but I could understand Lucha Underground's stance behind this. Is we're getting 90% of our wrestlers from AAA, so we don't want to make AAA mad where they won't let more talent come over when we need it. So, you know, I can see why they're on their side, but with the story of Sexy Star, the whole thing with her is the company's like 100% right on her ass. I have not seen Sexy Star wrestle a match all year, and I haven't seen her wrestle a match ever in AAA, and I've been watching for like a year and a half now, even after special events. She was a tag team champion, the mixed tag team champions with Pentagon Jr., and I've never seen them defend that title. I bet you rarely ever see anyone defend a title in AAA, but I only seen her on TV a few times, and she's not able to wrestle for, you know, AAA, but she's out here wrestling for Lucha Underground. She's wrestled for, I think, Shimmer or Shine, one of those two. They, you know, Nash are coming in, but I don't know the results of that match. So with her, it's, you know, 100% on the company. You know, I'm with the company. When it comes to Phoenix, I'm a little bit wavery on Phoenix himself. I don't know what the circumstances of him leaving AAA, but he went out and sought out his own thing, and then they trademarked his name after he left. They trademarked Phoenix. He switched his name to Rey Fénix. They trademarked that, and they switched to Phoenix El Rey. So that's a little, you know, a little petty or whatever, but it happens. So I'm like torn in between. In the case of Jack Evans left because he said something not discouraging, but a down the road mark about one of their legends, La Parca. And Jack Evans says something, you know, I'm paraphrasing all this though, but he says something to the effect of, this old man is always on top. I would like to learn from him so I could stay on top as long as he has. And AAA felt that there was a disrespect to La Parca, so they're like, hey, you know, see you later, Jack Evans. But you released Jack Evans, so I feel on Jack Evans' end, you know, he already owns his name, so it's not a problem, that he should still be able to wrestle within Lucha Underground because you released him. He didn't, hey, you know, I'm gone, forget you. They pretty much said, hey, get out of here, dude. You know, pretty soon they're going to bring him back. You know, just like a suspension or something like that. That's what the reports behind the things are. It's like somewhat of a suspension from AAA. But as my regards, it's like, hey, you released me. I didn't want to leave, such as like Sexy Star and Phoenix. You released me, so, hey, I'm going to go and still keep wrestling for Lucha Underground. So, you know, I'm one side, Sexy Star, I'm 100% with the company. With Phoenix, I'm like half and half. And with Jack Evans, I'm totally on Jack Evans' side. If something more were to happen with him not being able to wrestle in Lucha Underground. But with all that being said and done, let's hit some fighting music and get into Season 3, Episode 15 of Lucha Underground, titled In La Sombra. Matt Stryker and Vampiro welcome us to the temple, and we go straight into our first lucha of the night, and it is a four-way match in the Battle of the Bulls tournament, and we have Dante Fox, Mariposa, Killshot, and Jeremiah Crane. And like we did last week, let's break each individual person down. And let's start off with Mariposa. And Mariposa, damn, she did a great job. She's one of my favorite female wrestlers. She's Melissa Flash. I found out she lives in Las Vegas, so but anyways Mariposa did a hell of a good job here. Even in a Tower of Doom spot, she was not the woman on top. She was the woman doing the powerbomb beneath everyone, pulling them off the ropes. And they went through a stack of chairs, which was stacked incorrectly. They were laid out evenly, and Jeremiah Crane put one on top, and it fell over, so the chair was sticking up. So this looked like it was hurt. No one moved the chair, and Killshot took the brunt of that. But it was great. The crowd, like I said, the crowd cheering for Mariposa. Mariposa throwing chairs, slamming people on chairs, hitting people with chairs, and it was good. A great match for Mariposa. Let's move over to Killshot. And this dude's offense is just spectacular. It's crisp. It's clean. I like it a lot. It's very good to watch. There's something slightly different about him. It's just like Mariposa. They have this different style of wrestling, which I enjoy a lot. Let's move over to Dante Fox. I at least wanted to punch him in the face this go around. So maybe because there's more people mixed in there. I still had a little bit of that feeling that I want to punch him in the face. But man, is this guy just super athletic. Oh, this guy is just amazing in his moveset. He looks a little stiff in the ring still to this day. But I do really like all of his moves and all that he can do. And let's move to Jeremiah Crane. I did never liked Jeremiah Crane or... never liked him when he was in CZW. I Can't stand watching that. When he moved into NXT as Simon Crow, I started to like him. He has a sinister offense, which is great, but they wouldn't let him use that. But here, he's using a stretch muffler. He's using a lot more sinister moves. He's not all power, he's all just freak, which is lack of a better term. But I don't like his hair. The shirt, the pants, everything looks good. The hair, it's supposed to be grungy, but it just looks awfully dirty. But, you know, he still did good in the match, and he is the winner of the match as he hits what they call the cranium. And this shit looks like it hurts. It is a sort of like the package pile driver, but he doesn't hook your legs as well. He just sets you up and then pile drives you down to the ground. And he pit Dante Fox to move on in the tournament. But the best part is, after Jeremiah Crane did his, he won the match and he left, Killshot went after Dante Fox and started beating his ass, hit the double stomp and all this good stuff. But nonetheless, it was a very good match. Now we are in the locker room with Jack Evans and PJ Black being filmed by Taya. And Taya is just like, hey, I'm going to direct this. You guys just sit back, answer the questions when I ask you to. But okay, how does it feel to be in the Worldwide Underground? They do a bunch of takes of this. they do their guitar signature thing. And then PJ Black's like, okay, just add the music in post-production. She goes, what? Why would I do that? Why wouldn't you do it? Because I'm the director. You know what? And then Johnny Mundo steps into the frame. He's like acting awkward on camera. And he gets serious. He goes, okay, you guys are sitting here making my movie. What you should be doing is figuring out how to win your match that's coming up. Because if you don't win your match, you might not be in the Worldwide Underground for much longer. And the two look depressed about this situation. But I think this is pretty funny, you know, pretty good inside thing in the back about post production and such like that. And we are in a training facility into a different locker room as we get Sexy Star, you know, working out for a little bit. This took way too long. I didn't understand this. But she goes, she works out for a little bit. She trying herself off, whatever. And she goes to her locker and she opens it up. Reaches into her purse or, you know, putting her stuff away. And then she sees a spider and she is freaked the fuck out about this damn spider. And now we go into our second lucha of the night. And we get Cobra Moon taking on 1/3 of the Trios champions, Drago. This match, I don't know. This wasn't a very good match per se. I do like how they, you know, talking about Drago, Vampiro, and Matt Stryker say, you know, he's a high flyer, but he's very good as a mat-based wrestler. And about Cobra Moon, she is slinky. She's very slinky. I don't know if slinkiness was a trait, but it is for her. Like I say, in this match, told a good story, but I didn't like the fluid of this match. I guess they're saying maybe Cobra Moon was kept saying something to Drago. That's why he wasn't going full force at her. Because he kept pausing him. Didn't hit the move and then pausing and then hitting the move. And then she would hit a couple arm drags. But nothing that could stop Drago. But we get Drago, you know, setting up Cobra Moon for something. You know, he gets a space between Cobra Moon. And then one of the stake men come down. And this dude is pretty big. This was the dude in the all dark snake mask. Looked a little bit like Drago, but less skelly. He comes down, beats up on Drago. Drago wins by DQ. He starts beating him down, and Phoenix comes down to help Drago. So does Aerostar, but Aerostar sitting outside the ring. They beat this dude down, and then we see Cobra Moon in the alley, like, doing some wacky dance. And she summons this the other dragon guy, the one I liked with the mask. I seen his mask. I seen the back of his head. It is real hair. But he has a dragon mask. It's sort of like a cane mask where it comes up in the front. But it is pretty cool nonetheless. But this dude's huge. This dude is ginormous. This dude, they're saying, he has to be at least 7 feet tall. He has a lot of tattoos. I don't know who any of these guys are. But this dude is a big time. He's big. He beats the hell, I'm talking about the hell out of Phoenix, with some pump handle kicks to Phoenix, a pump handle kick to Errol Starr. They're calling him Luchasaurus. And then the Matt Striker Vampiro, like, yeah, you call him Luchasaurus, call him Luchasaurus to his face. They said Cobra Moon referred to him as Giant Snake. I guess he's the, hey, get him, Giant Snake. So he's the big, he's this dude, I'm not even exaggerating, this dude's huge. And then he hits Errol Starr and Phoenix with a big time double choke slam on those fools. He grabs Drago, hits him with the tombstone, a tombstone power driver, picks up Drago, and the three of them leave, being Cobra Moon, the shorter dragon snake guy, and the taller Drake snake guy with Drago on his back. Now we are in the hallways of the temple as we get Cobra Moon walking one way and Sexy Star walking the other. They cross paths. Cobra Moon pulls the hair of Sexy Star. Sexy Star and Cobra Moon start going at it. Eventually, Sexy Star gets the upper hand, puts Cobra Moon up against the wall, which I would like to do. But anyways, she goes, "Hey, what the hell? You tortured me. You did all this shit to me. We're over with. We're done. Why'd you put a spider in my locker?" Cobra Moon, the whole time, explained, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what's going on." And then once Sexy Star says something about a spider, Cobra Moon's like, "Why would I put a disgusting spider in your locker? I would put something beautiful like a butterfly." Sexy Star is pissed. She punches a hole through a wall, and we go on to our third and final lucha of the night, and it is the final match in this round of tournaments for the Running of the Bulls, or the Battle of the Bulls. We get PJ Black versus Jack Evans versus Angelico versus Son of Havoc. So we got two people that are in the team, and we got two people who used to be in the team, PJ Black and Jack Evans being in the team, and then Angelico and Son of Havoc being a dysfunctional team and winning the trios titles. Wow, I just thinking about this, they all were trios champions at one time, not together, obviously. But yeah, let's get into this. And like we did before, we're going to break down each individual guy in this match. These multi-man matches can be convoluted at times. Plus, we haven't seen a lot of these guys in a while, and we don't know much about what's going on with them. And let's start off with Son of Havoc. Looks like Son of Havoc had dismissed Mascarita Sagrada, so he's not there with him, or I don't know what's going on with that storyline. I guess they get the revenge, so it's over. But Son of Havoc's always been fighting for a championship but not getting those big opportunities. I like that, though. He has some great spots. One of the great spots he had was a double stomp, I guess you want to say, where we've seen Angelico, or Angelico, whichever one you want to pick this week, had Jack Evans on his shoulders, like into a Death Valley driver or Samoan drop. And PJ Black was down on the ground, and Son of Havoc jumped off the top ropes onto one, and then onto PJ Black. But a pretty decent match from him. Let's move into the returning Angelico. He, right now, because we're saying him second, he should have won this match. But I understand why they didn't let him win this match. That knee that he has, that like uppercut knee, I call it, that flying knee is devastating. This dude is slinky and long. I like what they refer to him. Like, why does he have pockets where they're not usable on his pants? I always think it's to break up his look. And I like his look. I remember I chose his look, right? Remember? But anyways, I'm liking Angelico. Maybe a little bit of green in the hair. I don't know. Do something a little bit more. He still needs his revenge on Johnny Mundo. He still needs that match with Johnny Mundo. So hopefully he doesn't give up after this defeat. Let's go over to Jack Evans. Oh my gosh. Jack Evans, I don't want to punch as much as I want to punch Dante Fox, but Jack Evans gets on my nerves. Holy shit. Shut the hell up, dude. He's always yapping during his matches, always talking, man. Just getting there, getting in the ring, and he's like not talking. He's always whining and crying, and he does his typical shtick. But let's go over to PJ Black. Big time fan of PJ Black. He's crisp in the ring, does his moves very smooth. But when we're just gonna go into the finish of this match, trust me, people watch these multi-man matches, these are good. I mean, watch Lucha Underground all together. But we get all four guys outside the ring, then PJ Black and Jack Evans make their way into the ring, and then PJ Black's like, "Hey, Jack, pin me, PJ Black's like, "Oh, I mean, Jack Evans' like, "Okay, I'm pinning you." And PJ Black reverses it. It gets the 1-2-3 on Jack Evans. Jack Evans is mad. PJ Black is like clowning him that he fell for it, which is pretty fun. I like that dynamic. It puts another person in the Worldwide Underground in the match. He did have to trick his partner, but that's what happens with all of that stuff. So your winner of that match was PJ Black over Jack Evans. And then our final segment of the night, it is Rey Mysterio laying in the bed, and Dragon Azteca Jr. is up to him, like, "Hey, what's up, man? You're nothing. I finally know what you were training me for. I finally figured it out. I had to go against Matanza, and man, that guy's, I see it. I see it now." And Rey Mysterio's like, all right, so we need to do some more training." And then Dragon Azteca's like, "Nah, I'm done, done with you, taking lessons from you. I'm done with all that. I'm going to take on Matanza Corto all on my own." Rey Mysterio's like, "No, you can't do that." And pretty much Dragon Azteca is not hearing it. He wants revenge on Matanza Corto. And then we go off the air. And another great episode of Lucha Underground. Who's the Spider Dude? Go ahead, Spider-Man in Lucha Underground in the Sexy Star storyline. We see that a lot of people are looking for revenge, looking for something more. Especially in the case of Dragon Azteca. So that's gonna be pretty good. That's gonna be a great match. But this is good. All these matches, everything is progressing. You might not like some of the storylines. Like I said, I didn't care for the Drago storyline, and Cobra Moon is like, "Oh, she knew that from the beginning. Why shouldn't she start off that way?" But maybe she's just waiting for these guys to show up to help her get, she's looking for a soulmate. So maybe that's why they sacrificed Daga to get these two back. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to read too much into that. But these two dudes are here, and these two dudes are huge, and one is just ginormous. So I'm liking that storyline now. So now we got someone to go after those trios titles and stuff for the White Rabbit Clan. Sure, whatever about them fools. Yeah, just a lot of good stories, a lot of good storylines. Even though Dante Fox and Killshot lost that match, they're not progressing to that story into the the next match in the tournament. We had at least gotten their storyline, like, "Hey, okay, I'm gonna whip his ass after the match. Forget this fool, And I like the announcers do such a great job of explaining stuff to us, as if, okay, we see Killshot always trying to help Dante Fox, but Dante Fox doesn't want help. But Killshot says, "Forget this." Now he's not going to offer any more help to him. So they do explain a lot, except for the stuff that happens backstage, obviously, which is a great thing that they don't, because then they would know what happened backstage. But anyways, that is that episode of Lucha Underground. Unfortunately, we don't have Booker T this week to teach you the El Español, but you got me, so I'm going to teach you some little bit of El Español right here, and it is the title of this week's episode of Lucha Underground, En las Sombras, meaning in the shadows. And you're saying, La Sombra, what is La Sombra? And La Sombra was a CML wrestler, big time wrestler down there for them, and he got moved up to what to NXT. He is the CL Almas. And how this ties in is just kind of funny, because we know all the episodes of Lucha Underground are taped up. So What is weird is that on NXT, they're doing such a tournament that is very similar to Lucha Underground. I'm not saying they took it. I'm not saying they're doing anything like that. It's just, a very weird coincidence. They're doing a tournament where it's the same thing, but there's one-on-one matches, four one-on-one matches that lead into a four-way, and that person becomes the number one contender for the NXT title. In Lucha Underground, we have four four-way matches leading into one more four-way match. But this is elimination style for a number one contender for the Lucha Underground world title. So, I'm just glad to see that Cien Almas had won, even though he beat No Way Jose. But he had this sweet DDT move. I know this ain't NXT talk, but he had this sweet DDT, hooking the arm behind the back, and just it was pretty cool. I'm very into Lucha Libre wrestling, and just in case you didn't know, Lucha Libre style does not mean Mexican wrestling. Mexicans do it more than any other person, but there's other people who are capable of this style, and don't stereotype it as just Mexicans. Like Amazing Red and a lot of guys in the X Division wrestle that Lucha Libre style, and even the Cruiserweights to an extent get to wrestle that style. But with that being said, you could find me on Twitter. It is FinFishSCU on the Twitter. I have a email account, so send me emails to my Gmail, which is finfishscu at gmail.com. Don't forget, we got a chat line. You're bored, you need something to talk to over the holidays about anything and everything, even wrestling. Go ahead and hit me up. It is 702-803-2428. 702-803-CHAT. And like I said, you can chat about anything and everything. And let's chat really quick about my other show here on the Training Topics Network. It is What's On Fight. And man, we are tearing it up over there. So check that out. We just watch random shows on the Fight app. Free, all these shows are free. We put everything up for you to follow these shows. If you have any shows that you recommend for us to watch, we got two coming up recommended by some of the great people here on the Trending Topics Network. And then one is the ROH recent show, the Women of Honor show. And pretty soon coming up will be ICW Insane Championship Wrestling from over there in Scotland. So imagine who picked that one, right? But let's thank the Trending Topics Network for letting the show that chats all about Lucha Underground on the network. I give another shout out to my co-host on What's On Fight, Mr. Fourth Row. Let's talk about the five types of cool and in New Orleans. Always down to talk Lucha Libre or wrestling. But with all that being said and done, I am so glad that you have wanted to chat. And I'm so glad that you wanted to chat with me about Lucha Underground Season 3, Episode 15. And now that we had Lucha chatted,
El Ídolo!
Adios.